So tonight, folks, I am proud to profile the latest group of heroes who are attempting to give big government an overreach around. Jim?
America is under siege.
Our government is a tyranny, and it's out of control, and it must be stopped.
It really is government overreach, government gone amok.
This big brother has gotten a lot creepier than George Orwell thought it would ever get.
Tyranny is on the rise, but these brave patriots are fighting back. They are difference makers. Deep in the heart of New Hampshire lies the small town of Keene, a pretty place where the iron fist of authority has run amok. But help is on the way. Meet the Free Keene Squad. James Cleveland, a.k.a.
I think it's fair to say that I'm the mastermind.
The mastermind. Garrett Ian.
I would identify myself as an anarchist.
The Afro-kissed. Chris Cantwell.
This is a .38 caliber revolver in a paddle holster. And I carry it on my hip.
The Enforcer. The Free Keene Squad has a clear plan to free the people of Keene. Tell them, Mastermind.
Free Keene necessarily isn't about freeing people per se.
A powerful vision for a better tomorrow. We confronted jackbooted city councilor Randy Filio for a response.
Free Keene claims that they're freeing Keene from something. Most of us that have lived here all of our lives really haven't figured that part out yet. And quite honestly, I don't think they've really figured it out yet. So if they ever do figure it out, I wish they'd give some of us a call.
Ring, ring, Randy. Better get the phone, because they figured it out.
Parking meters.
You heard him right. Parking meters.
If we're going to have a government, I mean, I feel like that they should do kind of the basics. They should defend life, liberty, and property. And I don't really see how issuing parking tickets meets any of those goals.
So Free Keene sprang into action by running ahead of meter maids and putting coins in the meters before they expire. They call it Robin Hooding. They've been filming themselves doing it for years and have posted hundreds of clips on the web, some of which have gotten multiple views.
I guess I'm the Robin Hood. I feel like I'm a superhero. I'm out there doing good for the community.
Which has the tyrannical city government shaking in their boots.
Probably the most controversial issue wasn't them plugging a meter, because quite honestly, none of us cared. What we cared about was they were following around the meter attendants and harassing them.
They're not harassing. They're annoying for liberty.
I was like, hey, why are you going that way? So we're going to follow you wherever you go. You're not going to get away with it today.
You take money from people by force. Why do you behave this way? I don't think that's an appropriate thing for people to do to each other.
I'd like you to stop following me around.
No, you please.
Nobody likes what you do. It's a crappy position to be in life.
Go back to your truck and drive away.
I'm doing my job.
Okay. Doesn't look like it.
Yes, this may look like the Free Keene Squad are being total dicks to innocent meter maids, but if that were true, why doesn't anyone stop them?
And so if you clicked on an article about Robin Hooding, you could get this rich history going back and looking at all these different approaches. You could say, has this progressed? Has this deteriorated? And it could actually become a tool for people who want to be activists.
For certain, those who know history are doomed to watch others repeat it.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is March 13th, and we continue with our Liberty Forum discussion series. I'm going to be interviewing a young man today named Alex, the infrastructure engineer. But first of all, what was that clip that I played at the beginning of the show? Was that real? Did people from the Free Keene movement actually go on the Colbert Report? Did they have some kind of meeting out there and say, yeah, this is risky, but think about all the people who've gone on the Colbert Report and then wound up gaining widespread recognition and respect afterwards, and then doobity-doobity-doo, step 4, profit. I don't know. Now, I could probably make a phone call and find out the answer to that question, but not having the answer made me realize something. In a time where everything can be captured and recorded, and thus become a part of our history, the people who are most willing and most prolific when it comes to capturing and recording are leaving a lot of blur in their own story. Why are certain decisions made in the Free State Project? What resistance do those decisions come up against? And what can we learn from those clashes? Let me explain a little more. Many of us here in New Hampshire who care about things like public relations for the Free State Project and the philosophy of liberty were stunned by that decision. And I included it at the beginning of the show, not just for its entertainment value, but also brings us nicely to the present moment where for the last 48 hours or so, I have found myself, along with a small group of concerned people from pretty much all over the state, in the middle of trying to solve a pretty serious problem, community problem here in New Hampshire that also has resulted from some bad decisions, maybe due to a lack of information. And, you know, I found myself doing stuff that I never do, being on Facebook, posting in groups, getting into comment discussions with people, posting in private message threads and private groups. And I'm really concerned with this community problem that's existing here right now. I'm sorry I can't go into too much detail about it. But I'm realizing that I've sunk a lot of time into that over the last 48 hours. And unless, you know, we have somebody in our ranks who works for the FBI or for Facebook or for the NSA, a lot of these records become very difficult to retrieve. The deliberation, the negotiation, the mediation, because this is an important part of the history of the Liberty Project going on here in New Hampshire. How did we attempt to address issues, to solve problems? And even if private conversations should not be necessarily, you know, captured and posted for everyone to see, I'm certainly not in favor of that. A lot of stuff happens here. This is my point. There's a lot of disagreement here that almost no one gets to experience. And that disagreement often leads to growth. The presence of disagreement also shows that there is not a unanimity, which makes it more of a challenge for people to engage in the composition fallacy, where someone shows up and they say, I'm a free stater and I do this or I say this, and outsiders can look and say, oh, that must be what all these people do. So if there is a detailed history, not only is it helpful for public relations, it also can become a powerful learning tool. So Alex, my guest, is spearheading a project to create that history. And considering things have been going on here for almost 10 years, we are way behind in that project. So I was happy to give him some time to discuss it. Of course, I'm also interested in almost anything that has to do with the study of history or the study of the study of history. This is short, but I think it's an interesting idea, and there's plenty more for me and Alex to do together on the show in the future, so he might be back sometime soon. All right, enjoy. All right, so I'm sitting here with Alex, the infrastructure engineer. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on School Sucks. I met you for the first time in 2010, right? I think it was 2010 out on the seacoast, and you kind of snuck into the Free State Project, if I remember correctly. Not behind the back of the Free State Project, but you came here from New Jersey originally, right?
Yes.
And you'd come to New Hampshire to go to school at UNH, and I remember you quickly got into the mix with us out in the Seacoast area when I was out there years ago. Tell us a little bit about what brought you here.
Well, I had been living in New Jersey, and I was doing some research about some things that made me curious about government and about the state and objectivism, and eventually one thing led to another, just going on various different websites, and I was on a blog, and there was a little icon on the side for Free Talk Live, and I clicked that, and
yeah.
all of a sudden I started, you know, hearing these really this really interesting radio talk show. And so they were talking about the Free State Project and moving to New Hampshire, and it was just kind of coming up on my high school graduation, and I made the decision that, well, if I'm going to be going to college, why don't I just go to college in New Hampshire, so that way I get the college done and I get to be in New Hampshire at the
yeah,
same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, so I attended the University of New Hampshire, got a couple degrees in biochemistry, and then I graduated May of 2014, and here I am.
Yeah, and your work today is an infrastructure engineer. What is that?
The name that we use in the industry is called DevOps.
Yeah.
And so what I do is, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to actually write your website for you. I'm going to provide the infrastructure necessary to host it.
Okay.
So if you have an idea that's going to cause a traffic spike, let's say, you know, 30,000, 40,000 or more people all hitting your website simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
that poses a very interesting engineering problem. And that's my area of expertise, is to help you keep your website and all the components of your website online, running, highly available, and able to withstand huge amounts of traffic.
Right.
And
right.
and even damage. So if a portion of your infrastructure goes down, it needs to be fault tolerant, right? And so that's the other aspect of the kind of engineering solutions I provide.
Well, I hope to need someone like you someday. The thing I wanted to talk to you about today, you sat on a technology, liberty and technology panel yesterday, and you pitched this very interesting idea, a project that you really feel people should be taking seriously related to the liberty movement or the Free State Project. So I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit, because I thought it was just a phenomenal idea, and I can't believe there isn't already, you know, people and hours and resources and money being devoted to it. But go ahead, how would you introduce it?
Just kind of a recap of the talk that
yeah.
I gave. I put a picture of an activist who was well known a number of years ago. Her name was is Lauren Canario.
Yep.
She had a very interesting story. There was a United States Supreme Court decision, I believe it was Kelo versus United States 2005. And in that decision, the justices basically legally sanctioned eminent domain.
Yeah. yeah.
And this was New London, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And so this New London property corporation, whatever, seized this person's house. And they were going to take the property. And Lauren Canario was in the area in New London. And she went onto the property and she refused to leave in protest of this very terrible decision. And she was arrested for it. And I asked the audience, raise your hand if you know who this person is. And there were not every single hand was in the air. I think that that needs to change. I think that we're forgetting our history.
Yeah, it's important, too, because by 2006, 2007, she was in western New Hampshire in the Keene area, and it was her presence and the presence of people like her, like Kat and Russell Canning, that actually encouraged people to start moving, including Ian and Mark, who've kind of been pretty big mouthpieces for the Free State Project, to move to Keene. And Keene has become, you know, according to some people, for better or for worse, a hub of activity. But it was, you know, Lauren and people like her that drove people to Keene originally. So yeah, it's really important. And what was the response when you put your hands up? Like, how many people or what percentage of the group do you think would know who she was?
It was probably maybe 40%.
Not bad.
Of the people,
bad.
You know.
Yeah.
I think every hand should be raised, though.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And even myself, I don't even know all the details of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I wasn't around for that event. And, you know, I came in to New Hampshire in August of 2009, and, you know, I had college also distracting me from getting into a lot of liberty things. So there are certainly details about that story that I don't know. Nobody has no one person has, other than maybe Lauren, has a complete picture of what actually happened.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, a lot of people, they're getting older, they're either moving away or they're doing their own thing. And all of this information is going to be lost if we don't create a central repository for it. And so what I had done is I set up a wiki called freestatechronicles.org. And the purpose of it is to aggregate all of this information in one place, just like Wikipedia. But in addition, we also want to collect media, right? Certain raw footage of events that happen, protests, jury trials, etc. And we want to host it locally. In addition, we also want to do the news articles, right? For example, Washington Post did an article about Porkfest. All of that media needs to be saved as, you know, a PDF, ideally, and archived on our site. Because what if Washington Post takes that article down? You can't just, you know, provide a link. You know, we need hard copies of everything.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, audio, visual, news articles and things of that nature, that all needs to be there.
You know, it relates to what you were saying about Lauren is years ago, like if you only have a Washington Post version or a New York Times version and you can't fit it into a context, like it would be great if people could find that article, but then also see how that fits into a bigger picture. That would be a beautiful thing. Unfortunately, when it comes to something like Keene or Robin Hooding, most people will only ever know what they saw on the Colbert Report,
right.
You know, and that sucks. But Lauren did Robin Hooding. Like before Robin Hooding was even a thing in Keene. So if you clicked on an article about Robin Hooding, you could get this rich history going back and looking at all these different approaches. You could say, has this progressed? Has this deteriorated? And it could actually become a tool for people who want to be activists.
For certain, those who know history are doomed to watch others repeat it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really the goal of the site is to not only chronicle the people, but also the events and maybe provide a timeline, right? So if you just moved here, you want to start 2001, right? And you just want to go next, and just read that whole timeline all the way through.
Yeah.
So we're still working on editorial standards. You know, that's still a thing that I would love to collaborate with people on. You know, you want it to be a high quality website. You don't want the style of the writing or maybe some kind of nebulous facts that are difficult to prove, you know, kind of getting in there, you know, unless they're like firsthand accounts. There does need to be a set of standards.
Yeah.
But I really, after a lot of thinking about this, I think that the best way to go is to just let people write, just throw in facts, right? You don't have to be an English major to contribute. If you have a perspective of an event that happened, some you know, like a trial, like I was in the other room when that person got arrested and the video doesn't capture it. Here's my take on it.
Yeah.
Just throw it up there. It doesn't matter. If it's properly edited and, you know, all the T's are crossed and everything, right. It doesn't need to be that way. We can, as long as we get the facts on there, then we can go almost like a volunteer editorial staff can go through and say, okay, well, it might be better to write it this way or that way, right? To try and make it more clear to people, right? So if you have information, please just get out there. Images, just dump them on there. Just give us the date, the time, the image, and, you know, just a brief description of what happened, and we'll make it all fit in with the wiki, you know, theme and style.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too is that some moderation would probably be required because there are a lot of different approaches. There are a lot of different ideas about what activism should be, about what activism shouldn't be. So if you're covering specific events like maybe the 420 rallies where a lot of controversial ones come to mind from Keene, like things that were done in Keene that people in, you know, elsewhere in the state, right or wrong, said, yeah, I don't know if that's the best approach. So you might actually, it'd be interesting to see how people would compete for the narrative, you know, to have their opinion or their outlook expressed in the narrative, and how to moderate that would also be a really interesting process, I think.
I agree. Part of that is accounts. People are going to be posting with their real names. There are not going to be any anonymous contributions.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of it is I want the site to host not only the good information, but also the bad information. Times when there was a very, very sad situation that occurred where somebody did something that was maybe disrespectful or not okay or whatever that made news headlines or that is, you know, that's part of the history of, and it had wide-reaching implications for us. Those kind of events also need to be documented. I don't want this to be a sanitized version of history. I want it to be all there.
Oh, so we're not telling history like everybody else tries to tell it, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like that. I think it's really important because it goes back to what I said before. It's a tool for how to do things better. So, you know, when was there a problem? How did people deal with it? And I understand, too, that because it's early, like PR is still such a big part of this. You know, you have this problem of people going through maybe like an archive and picking through and saying, oh, they did this, they did that. You know, people who want to diminish the Free State Project's effectiveness or they want to hurt its reputation. So there are those things. But I think that would be so much more difficult to do if there was actually like a contextual map of what had been done. And it would also be harder to collectivize and do the, what is it, composition fallacy, where you say all these people are just like this because this one guy did a thing, therefore, and he was part of this, so all people are like this. You would actually be able to see records of disagreements. And I just wonder, as far as the interface would be concerned, there's so many interesting opportunities for like mapping maybe a continuum of ideology from political, as far as what activism should be, from political to civil disobedience. It's just, I was sitting, after we talked yesterday, I was like sitting last night before bed and I was just thinking about it. Like, wouldn't it be neat? Have you ever seen the brain software, personal brain software it's called, where it actually, like you click on somebody and you can have inputs for all these different people and it will make like a map of everything they're connected to?
It's a great thing about the Wiki platform. Too is the Media Wiki platform is that we can go and tag articles with and just like they do on the real Wikipedia we can create hyperlinks and link all pages to all the other pages and create tags and say, well, Brett, so you're going to be tagged with, you know, School Sucks Podcast and all the other organizations that you've been involved in.
Yeah.
And then you can really create the value that the wiki provides is more than simply the facts. It's how the facts relate to one another.
Yeah.
Right. And being able to link all of those ideas together and see how they form different kinds of relationships. Getting the facts on there is one hurdle, but that additional metadata, right, of the categories and dates, times, information like that, that is an entire additional level of not complexity, but information that really should be there.
Yeah. Interesting thing, too, that once all that linking is created, it does in text what this brain site does visually, where you can see all the connections if you look for them. The brain makes all those connections visual. So while, like, if you're going through an article about Robin Hooding, you'd see Lauren Canario, you would see James Cleveland. But if you use this map, you would click Robin Hooding and then you would see like the spider web or this neuronal pathway kind of representation of the same thing. So it's very interesting, but you're right that the Wikipedia accomplishes the same thing. And somebody could go, they hear about Robin Hooding, they go to read about it, this site comes up, they say, oh, wait a minute, this started in people were doing this in 2007. I thought this was just something that they did last year and they got on Comedy Central for. But this has this rich, interesting history, actually. And obviously, there's all kinds of opportunities for how somebody could have that discovery. So I love this idea. And what else can we say about it? What else should people know about
it? Well, if you'd like to visit the website, you can go to freestatechronicles.org. Currently, I have closed registration from anonymous people. I'm going through and creating all of the accounts by hand. And the reason for that is to protect against people that we don't know having accounts or making anonymous contributions, etc. Certainly, the infrastructure to provide this kind of a service isn't free. One of the biggest expenses that I envision us having is on disk space.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of media. It's going to be a lot of video, right? A lot of bandwidth to stream that video. And those are some interesting engineering challenges that require some capital. But at the moment, we don't have a whole lot of big media that or big archives of media, right? At the moment, but in the future, that will be, hopefully become more of a problem. It's a good problem, right?
Yeah,
needing more disk space is you know, while it costs money, it's also a great sign that we're really collecting a lot of important information.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say that I really appreciate you kind of spearheading this project and trying to build interest in it, because I think it's real. I'm always interested in history. This is a history that I'm actually a part of. I think it's very cool. As soon as you put the idea in my head, I started thinking about all the things this could be, all the things that this could mean. And it's really important that this is recorded, because there is a lot of confusion about what actually has happened, and there doesn't need to be. So I certainly wish you the best of luck. I would be eventually interested in participating in some way. And I'm glad I finally got you on the show. I've known you for a long time. There's probably lots of things we could talk about, so I'd be happy to have you back sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Everything from my experience at college and the kind of education that goes on there, and even my experience in high school dealing with public school bureaucrats. I've had a very interesting history.
Yeah. So we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.